We're on.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock in the Airport Authority. A roll call, please.
Hey, Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Secretary Scheifele.
Here.
Director Woods.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Sandra Cushing Adams.
Absent. She sent in a note that she has a family obligation. Is there any public input? Hearing none, I'll turn to our secretary.
Having received no comments regarding the June public meeting, I move that we approve the public minutes for June 20th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Duquette, all in favor?
Aye.
Passes. Treasurer's report. You have in front of you the June and the July financial statements. The June 30th, we'll refer to them on page 21. That's for the entire year, previous year. We round up income roughly $25,000 ahead of what we had budgeted. $13,000 was from fuel flowage fees. $6,000 was registration fees, and $7,000 was from snow removal. On the expense side, we did have personnel changes during the year, so we had a higher over budget full-time wages, but we owed $8,800. But we were under part-time wages by $13,000. Other major variances, the equipment, we had budgeted $18,000, we only spent $7,500. We had accounting services, we budgeted $8,000. We spent $1,600 because we got a reimbursement from the state for part of our audit. And we had no snow plowing or mowing services. We did that all internally. So it was a $5,000 savings. On the next page, page 23, variances and the expenses were all under $3,200 for the most part. So our total operating income, our net income was $97,000. We had budgeted $20,000, which is a $76,000 variance to the good. We also had other income of $28,000, reimbursements for health insurance premiums for past years of $26,000. So after the CIP expenses, our share of the master plan and the paving project of $104,000, and with considering the city and national contributions, we wound up the year with roughly $68,000 surplus. Any questions on the June statement? Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm wondering how David Shulman, for the record, how is the income from the landing fees going that is being collected? I don't have a sheet in front of me.
Yeah. The landing fees, we're generating roughly about $500 a month, which is what we had budgeted for the year. We took in $7,026, which we budgeted $7,000, so we're right on target.
Can we see if we can find out if our volume decreased at all when we started imposing the fees? I don't expect that it did, our landing volume. And I wonder if there's room to bring those close to the market. My understanding was that we made those fees lower than market, lower than the competition. I like being competitive compared to the competition, but if our volume didn't change, if we didn't lose customers because we started to impose fees, Maybe there's room to make our fees the same, not more, but the same as the neighboring airports, and maybe we get a few more thousand out of it in the course of the year.
We will certainly look into that the suggestion.
Just one other quick question on the income side. The deficit on the tie-down income, just for the year, is that, you know, $4,700 is not life-changing, but is there a particular reason we can point to? Is part of paving stuff, maybe, moving people around, or?
I don't know really what's... Say that again?
There's a $4,700 variance from budget to year to date for tie-down fees. So I'm just curious why, you know...
I'm not sure where the budget came from last year.
Okay.
And I both weren't here, so I don't know what was put into since coming in. Since I've been there, I haven't seen much change month to month on the tie-down fees.
Yeah, I was just curious if we had some sort of noticeable pullout or something for some reason, but... Just the budget delta. Yeah.
Then we have the July financials, which is the first one for the year. And that's on page 39. We have about $1,500 in land lease revenue higher than budget. Also, above budget, we have a income that came in of $1,400. So we're $3,600 above budget on the operating income. On the expense side, we have lower wages part time and full time compared to budget. That was the major variance of $1,600 and $2,800. The vehicle repairs, we did have some repairs during the month, total $2,600 compared to a budget of $1,500. And all the other expenses are within budget. We had a net surplus for the month of $3,600, actually $3,900. We had budgeted a shortfall of $5,800, so we're $9,400 to the good in variance. Any questions? I'd like to make a motion to accept the June 30th, 2017 and the July 31st, 2017 financial statements as presented.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. A couple other financial items on the discussion. One is that because we have a surplus in our checking account, we're at the point where we should move some money out to make sure we're within FDIC insurance limits. They're up to $250,000 between some of the CDs and also our checking accounts. So we did do some investigation, and our recommendation is to the two recommendations. One is to open up a CD of $75,000 for 1 year. The rate is 1.4% with Enterprise Bank. And the second recommendation is we have a current CD at Merrimack County Savings Bank at a half of 1%, which expires in March of 18. It pays to break that CD and open up a new CD with them for 18 months at 15 months, at 1.64%. motions that I'd like to make.
Second.
Good. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Discussion of accepting credit card and convenience fees. Susan, you want to talk about that?
Page 45. We've had two several people ask us to accept credit cards, and I went online and I did a little research, and the Square, it's just a very simple piece that fits on your phone or iPad, and there's no charge for it, and there's no charge from the company unless you actually do a transaction. They have the two different rates, card present, card not present. And in order to, the card present, if you're in the office and you swipe it, it's 2.75%, but if you want to call in over the phone, it's 3.5% plus 15 cents due to the, you know, fraud. So Chris and I were talking about how we can just cover the cost of that, those fees. So we just came up with a percentage. We charge 3% additional fee for the service for, on top of what they're requesting to pay, whether it be for a tie-down of $50, whether it be a $30 security pass. If we impose a 3%, so say if we do $30, we impose 3%, that's 90 cents. So we charge them $30.90. Our net revenue after paying our service fee is only $30.05. So we're really not losing anything or gaining anything. It's just we're given the option of them letting them use their credit card.
Are you seeing any demand or requests from any office for?
Yeah, we have several people that come in, do you take credit cards? A lot of people use their debit cards now.
The city charges a fee and pay for credit cards, that's what we're for.
It's pretty much a convenience fee. You can get it at the bank and you can go use an ATM to convenience fee.
Do you need to accept debit cards too?
Yes. Because debit cards are just like a credit card.
And that's the device that you plug in as well?
Yeah.
And then you swipe it?
Yeah. And I sampled it with our card and it works. It's all set up, ready to go. There's no charge on that. It's whether we move forward with it or we don't.
What phone would you use?
I can use mine. You can use any phone.
Oh, you're not limited to an official phone?
No, as long as you're locked in and you have the login.
It's just an app, right? It's just an app.
App.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. So you're in they're everywhere. You go to trade shows, you go to hobby shows. We went to a train show down at the Shriners Auditorium with my father a couple months ago, and the guys that just have their stuff, they got their phone.
Yeah.
Their phone. I mean, it's everywhere.
Well, we're not shutting off check with cash.
Okay. No. No. It's just more just a convenience of the stuff that people choose to use. We have to cover that cost.
So I'd like to make a motion to empower the office to accept credit card and debit cards and attach a 3% convenience fee.
3% for the card present, but it would be a 4%.
It's basically just schedule for the fees, right?
Yeah.
The fee schedule.
It's It would be a 4%.
For the schedule.
The transaction type, yeah, all that good stuff, right?
For the transaction type,
because
card not present is
locked in. Yeah. So the one question I have, Susan, is if we start accepting credit cards and debit cards, are we exposed to any liability if there's fraud on a given person's account?
I can't imagine us having too much fraud, considering that we know so many people, it's not like it's on the internet.
Usually the fraud protection, I think, is on the card holder side, isn't it? So if somebody uses my card fraudulently, my credit card company is the one that sort of takes hold of that and on my behalf.
Right. I don't feel that we sell any products that could be a victim of fraud. If you think about it, who's going to want to call out and pay for someone else's credit card? You're right.
I just wanted to ask a question.
I know. I think it's based on
the... I suppose there's a possibility that it opens us up to that, but... unlikely.
Any other questions? Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
May I just suggest that keep an eye on it and let us know if there's any feedback from people objecting to it.
Communications.
We have another letter from the bankruptcy court asking Nashua Airport Authority to grant them an additional 90-day extension on the process, which was granted. Once again, there is absolutely nothing for us to be gained by not granting. It's now until October the 16th.
The tower report was included in the packet. We did see a slight uptick in the month of July of 1%. We're still year-to-date behind about 1,700 counts, so down about 5%. But we're the last 3 months have been positive, so we're on a positive trend at this point. I did also notice that the number of jet traffic has increased in June and July, the first 2 months of the year that it exceeded 100. Air taxi has also gone up as 55 for the month of July, which is the highest it's been year to date. So, seeing an increase in that. Airport manager.
Okay. Just one little comment about the movements at the airport. We know that we had some bad weather earlier in the year. Now we've got some nice weather, and I think that's what's brought the numbers up. Recent events, we had...
I thought it was because of the new paper.
It's that the new manager, right? That chance. Recent events, Ron Emond had the poker run to benefit Homes for Our Troops, June 24th. That went off. Everything worked fine. And I don't know who it was, but apparently a person that belongs in our airfield won the Bose headset. So that was the grand prize for it. Movie night almost didn't go off. We had a major rainstorm a couple hours before movie night, and it created a pond in our viewing area, so we simply moved the theater further into the field and solved that. We actually had movie night. Star Wars Rogue One, we had about 50 people turn out, which surprised me because of the weather, but it worked out fine. Unfortunately, the next day, due to weather, Wings and Wheels was canceled. However, in upcoming events, we've rescheduled Wings and Wheels for September 16th, and we're in fact working on getting participants back involved. And a few people said they can't do it because of the date change, but we're working on that. Other items of interest. Excuse me. On July 13th, I had a meeting with Lisa Foto, the Director of Public Works, and Andy Patrician, the assistant. And at the conclusion of the meeting, Ms. Foto stated that she would meet with Mayor Donches to discuss the airport's need for assistance from the DPW in the future to maintain the infrastructure of the City of Nashua owned airport. Attached, you'll find a copy of the list of items that we discussed in the meeting, the following page that you have. Some of the things that were or are being resolved are the City of Nashua agreed to provide us with a dumpster and service, something that we've never had from the city, so we no longer have to pay Casella Waste Systems $1,100 a year, and we now have that dumpster, so that's happening as we speak.
Who's making that?
The City of Nashua. Yep. Which was interesting because during our discussion they said we don't have dumpsters, and I said sure you do, and they managed to find us a dumpster, so that worked out fine. The VPW Streets Department excuse me, repaired the sinkhole and storm drain structure on our golf ramp. We developed a sinkhole out there, and it took a little while to coordinate this, but once I had this meeting with Ms. Foto, she went and looked at it, and they started taking care of it that day. So that worked out fine. That's all complete and paved. The DPW Wastewater Department They dredged a couple of our culverts between taxiways Echo and Delta with what they call their clamshell truck, so that the water would drain more efficiently. It was kind of backed up in the basins and it wouldn't go anywhere. So once they dredged it, it started moving. And a couple of months ago, as we already discussed, they brought the vacuum truck in and jetted out one of those lines that was all plugged up. It relieved basically the Mauser area, where there was a big pond out there. So this just kind of helped get the water flowing. They attempted to use the vacuum truck again, but the truck broke. And it's since broken down two more times, and we haven't had the opportunity to get them back, because I still have two more lines that need to be jetted. But they promised us that we're on the list. Unfortunately, when they were down for about 3 weeks, they have wastewater issues that they feel are definitely more pressing than our stormwater issue. I also mentioned to Lisa that perimeter road's condition is rapidly deteriorating and needs to be paved. And that was an eye-opener for everybody, because there's been a lot of discussion. You know, the city's stating that they don't own the road, and I showed her that they do own the road. They own the entire airport, and this is part of what she's going to discuss with the mayor and see if we can get on board with getting perimeter road paved, because it's deteriorating rapidly. And on the second page, page 63, this is the list that I created. That's pretty much what we just went over, but if you just want to look at it. This is what I had on my desk when she came in to meet with me, and we went over all these things in there, and that's what I think made everything go so well, and she started working on things for us.
Questions?
So, Chris, does it feel like the city's starting to take more notice of the airport as being part of the city, which is the traditional thing that hasn't been?
Well, that was what was going on. And she even told me, I'm sorry, I had more stuff on the back of the page, she pointed out to me. She said to me, for the last 4 years, she hasn't heard a peep out of the airport. She goes, almost like we didn't know the airport existed. We know it exists, but no one said anything. And then there was a little more discussion, and it was brought to my attention that another predecessor, it was Roy, I guess, it wasn't Mr. Bork, but it was Roy. Years ago, when the airport was doing really well, we had Daniel Webster College, and movements were like 100,000, lots of fuel flowing. Roy decided that we didn't need the city's help in these issues. And I explained to her that, well, that was a long time ago, and what's going on now is we don't have a collegiate aviation program. Our movements and fuel flow are less than half of what they were at one time, and we do, in fact, need the help of the city to maintain their infrastructure. And she agrees with me, and she said that's why she's decided to go to the mayor and try to get some money, whether it goes into her budget or we get a budget. That was another thing she had a little misconception about. She said that, well, you guys have a budget. I said, we have a budget, but we don't receive any money from the city. And she said, well, sure you do. I said, no, I didn't. I pulled it up. I showed it to her, and she didn't realize that. She thought that we were getting money from the city already for all these projects. Yes, it's not the case. And so another eye-opener for her. And she also stated that, well, I stated that, you know, for a city to have an airport is a real big deal. For a city to have an airport like the airport that we have is an even bigger deal. We have instrument approaches. The place never closes. We have a great community around it. There's shopping, there's hotels, there's all kinds of things to do with the airport. And she said to me, she goes, we know that, and she goes, the mayor knows that too from discussions that she's had, and he wants the airport to thrive and do well. So, a couple other things that I forgot to talk about. The attorneys representing ITT's Daniel Webster College bankruptcy denied us access to a piece of land that they're leasing from us for our movie night. And they stated liability issues. And I had a conversation, I said, what kind of liability do you have with a child sitting on your grass watching a movie? It didn't seem reasonable. I said, this has gone on for years. And basically, they flat out denied it. And so I subsequently relocated the event to the other side of the parking lot to avoid any conflict.
Is this a piece of land they're paying rent on?
They're supposed to be paying rent on, yes.
Well, we haven't received that.
No. This is all part of their bankruptcy. And it's a small piece of land over there. And at first I thought it was the whole piece of land. And as I looked at it, it was only a small piece, but it's right in the middle of the movie theater area. So I had to move it to the other side of the parking lot. It all worked out fine, but I'm just letting you know that they flat out denied that it didn't work with us right after we had agreed, no problem, to extend their term through October 16th. So.
Well, but one, the agreement extension goes to the court. And these are the brokers, I guess, right?
These are the attorneys for the trustees.
Is the bank people in New York?
Is it New York or it's. No, it's Ohio, isn't it? Indiana.
And this is what I was worried about with respect to control tower. What was their attitude? Was it professional? Was it courteous?
It was professional. It was courteous, but it was a flat-out denial. And I said, okay, you know, there's nothing I can do at that point. I tried to get them to approve it, but they wouldn't. And I think going forward, I hope for their sake they don't ask for another extension. I don't see why we would give that.
We would give them the same response.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, we were trying to play ball with them, and they that's what they decided. A couple other items on here. Matt Ferriby, he's acquired a few more items at no cost to the National Airport Authority, and he's finding a lot of really good stuff. We got a Kawasaki Mule 4x4.
Got a command vehicle now, huh?
Yep, so now we can go all over the airfield without getting stuck because it's four-wheel drive versus the John Deere that we had. He got a Miller welder generator on a trailer that's almost brand new. He picked up four chainsaws. He also picked up another trailer the other day that's full of hydraulic hose repair equipment, dies, fittings, etc. That trailer I would give a value of well over $15,000 worth of stuff in it. And he got that for free through this, you know, government program. I picked up a bunch of chainsaws the other day that I'm going to use for all the tree trimming everywhere. And he's doing a good job with that. Really finding a lot of equipment gets on there every morning. And unfortunately, we had tried to get a sweeper recently to maintain the porous pavement, and we got denied the sweeper. Somebody else got it before us. But there are more. We'll keep looking. And I put a little thrown in here for Joe Callahan, because we don't talk about Joe ever. Joe Callahan continues to make tall grass short. Joe does a great job out there.
I have a question. I had breakfast out there Friday, and my entire family, and we really got a kick out of Joe. But my question is, his mower, is this why? Don't we have a wider mower?
Yeah, he uses them in different areas. He was using the arms one, probably the Kubota, when you saw him. He trims around the lights and the edges. He does all that with the with the zero turns and out in the middle of the fields. He'll use the larger mowers, the Batman mowers. But yeah, Joe's doing a great job, so I just want to give him a thumbs up here because he does anything you ask him to do and he's happy as a clam all the time.
I'd just like to compliment you on getting your dumpster in the city because I asked in January and he said, you don't have any dumpsters in the city, actually. So. They didn't know they didn't have it, but now they know.
Yeah, I remember you would pass it on to me, and I was determined to get that because I knew they had dumpsters. And
the other thing is, we need to pay a real close attention to permanent roads because it's deteriorating. And I asked our former board member who's in that business, and he said he estimated it would be about $300,000 to pave that road. We have been very, very fortunate in that Sandy's connections with whoever does that repair work. And I mean, they respond within hours.
Yeah. Paul Wallace, he's the connection.
And we should be eternally grateful to them because those bottles are filled just like that.
Hey, also, Bob, when I had that discussion with Lisa that day, the truck was out on Kerman Road fixing a pothole. They were out working on that. She had no idea about this before. We were getting this done through the supervisors and the foreman and decided to bring it to the top so that it can happen and, you know, they're not jeopardizing their positions at all. And she said they weren't. She was happy they were doing it, but they're really on top. Matter of fact, the other day, 2 days ago, I was driving on Perkler Road, and I saw a city truck, and it's the pothole patching truck. Has a trailer behind it, and they were driving up Perkler Road without me even asking, looking to repair potholes.
On the other side of the coin, it's my understanding from the previous conversation that last year, or the year before, not 100% sure, the city of Nashua came to us to borrow a piece of equipment for emergency purposes for snow removal, and we weren't very cooperative on it until they started putting more pressure to it. And the response was, it's FAA-approved equipment, and you can't use it. And I was very disappointed to hear that. So I'm very happy to hear we established a cooperative relationship with the city.
We're trying to amend it. There is some merit to what you just discussed, though, in terms of the equipment being funded by the FAA, and it's less than 10 years old, I believe, Nick, that we technically can't lend that out for anything but airport business. But we have other equipment.
What piece of equipment was it?
It was a snowblower, I believe.
Snowblower, wow. But when the word emergency is used, I think we need to...
I'm all for cooperating with the city, and I think they understand that. On the other side of that coin, one of the things I requested was the use of an excavator. I asked if I could borrow an excavator so that we could... They have an old rusty excavator that I figured we could borrow and we could do a little work that we needed, because we have no digging equipment. We have loaders, mowing equipment, nothing to dig a hole other than a shovel. The response was, they can't lend us the equipment because they have a union. And I'm like, well, the union doesn't own the equipment. And she said, well, the problem is the operators of that equipment can now file a grievance because you're taking work from them. So the reciprocal agreement with swapping equipment isn't quite there yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we have such an agreement or we should, but I think that there's something worth looking into there. I think you're 100% right. The piece of equipment is not union related.
Right. But they came in and solved that problem by bringing in that clamshell truck where I was trying to dig out those culverts right at the entrances and exits of the culverts. So they took care of it.
Yeah. My point is, I'm not suggesting that anybody should break the law, but our level of cooperation should be at the highest level possible. And clearly that's happening.
Right.
And it wasn't in the past.
And the last thing on my list was we completed the relocation of the movement line in the 3-2 run-up area. It was moved, painted, and I've been out there and I've looked at it. I don't know if you've looked at it, Farrell, but
oh, yeah.
It seems to have done the trick.
Mm-hmm.
I drove over it already.
See you, Carl.
At high rate.
Yeah, ditto. I drove over it, you know, early this afternoon. Looked fine.
Yeah, good.
How's it working for runoffs?
I said this question to Steve. I was looking down there. People saying,
looking awful close. That's how it's looking.
Yeah. It's still quite
good. I look after that kind of money. Would you agree?
Well, my question is, people are staying on the other side of the line where we designed it to.
Yeah, people being angry. I like to be in the other way.
Okay. I think that's all. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you for that very positive report. Next is the airport engineers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt Caron with Gale Associates for the recording, and I will speak to the airport master plan update before turning it over to Nick to talk about the paving group seal. So to date, the master plan committee has had 3 meetings. We've gone through 4 chapters now, the introduction, the existing conditions, the existing environmental conditions, and now the forecasting chapter. The only thing that I'm waiting for at this point in time is any remaining comments or feedback on forecast. Once that's complete, which I presume we should be able to start wrapping up over the next week or so, the plan is to, in talking with Director Woods here, who is serving as the chair of the Master Plan Committee, would be to get draft chapters 1 through 4 to the authority in time for the September authority meeting, and we can do a presentation, field questions, and get approval from the authority to move forward with the forecast. More or less, that's where we're at this point in time. I did hand out nice binders to the Master Plan Committee at the last meeting, and I've got similar binders for each authority member. So as we move along, as the chapters are approved, we can continue to add to that until we actually get to the point where we can sign off on the Master Plan. So, any questions? Did I miss anything?
I was going to say thank you for making extra binders for the authority members, because I know if I post an email saying, you know, go look on Dropbox for chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4,
yeah.
Sandy will, you know, turn around and ask someone to print them out for her.
Right.
She won't say, what's Dropbox?
Well, she might do that too. But.
Yeah, the plan will be once, you know, at integral portions of the master plan, the master plan committee, once they've approved things, will bring it, like we talked about in the past, in front of the authority, and then once those are approved, I'll bring final copies, and we can just keep putting those in the three-ring binder. So I think it'll help keep everyone organized, and if you need to refer back to a chapter, it'll be there in front of us. So any questions on that? I know you haven't seen anything from the master plan yet. You're probably eagerly looking forward to something, but next month you should have something.
Questions? Okay. And Nick Ippolito for the recording, the Gale Associates. In my list of projects, we have two that we're administering on behalf of the airport. First being the pavement reconstruction and maintenance. That project is substantially complete at this point. Gale has received the test prints for the aerial photographs and are in the process of coordinating a contract on the final prints. Those are attached to each of your agendas as well. Once the final aerial photographs are delivered, a final reimbursement request will be processed to release retainers to the contractor and issue final payment to all the subs and to Gale, and then we can close out that project. So recommended actions would be to sign the final reimbursement request upon receipt, which would probably be sometime next month. And then submit any final invoices for sponsors administration to Gale to be incorporated into that reimbursement, if there are any. Item number three here, the runway removal and seal project. At this time, the state's block grant has only been partially issued. FAA has granted New Hampshire with the state apportionment and the entitlements for each airport. However, discretionary funds have not been released yet. The discretionary portion of New Hampshire's state block grant is anticipated to be released by September 1st. Once released, NHDOT will issue grants to each airport from that. So once the grant offer is received, Gale will prepare the notice of award and notice to proceed on the Ruby Seal project and send that to the authority for signature and then to the contractor. So recommended actions would be to provide Gale with a copy of the grant offer once the airport receives it, and then to complete the forms required to accept the grant and forward that back to FAA and DOT. Under general items, we have the 2017-2020 DBE plan, which was submitted to the FAA on July 28th. Gale will notify the authority upon receipt of the approval for that. As far as the CIP, Gale conducted a telecon with authority member Duquette to discuss potential rear. Is the same note from previous one?
Looks like that might be the same note. We did, Armin Dufresne, our director of aviation, and myself did meet with Joe and Chris, you were there, and Mike, I believe you were there as well. Talking about the CIP, I think the strategic planning committee was, I guess, all over the place in terms of where they were thinking about going with projects and lining up for the CIP, and I think we kind of came to a good understanding of how that process works and where we are right now, which is primarily the master plan is going to flesh out some of those future CIP projects. Right now, I believe the 2018, correct me if I'm wrong, grant or project is going to be for snow removal equipment, which is fine. That can stay in for 2018. We do revisit the CIP every single year, so whatever is in years 2, 3, 4, and 5, they're fine for now as placeholders until, like I said, the master plan flushes out some of these other needs for the airport. So,
The last bullet here for FY 2018, Gail will be conducting a scoping meeting with the Airport Authority and NHDOT to scope out the purchase of snow removal equipment for next year's project. Concurrently, on the same day, we'll be holding the CIT meeting with NHDOT as well. I'm sorry, it's not on the agenda, but this was finalized last week after I had our second pursuit. So on Monday at 8:30, at Dale's office in Beverly, we'll be conducting the CIP meeting and as well as the scoping meeting for the SRE project.
Nicholas Coffee and Donuts.
I will.
I did want to also add to finalize the pavement reconstruction maintenance project. That's been completed. There were some documents I signed during the past month, which reallocated some of the expenses, but the overall project came in about $40,000 under budget.
Correct. $40,000 under budget, but keep in mind we also have Whitefield's non-primary entitlement that we didn't even end up touching. Which works out great because we can apply that $150,000 plus the 2018 Nashua entitlements to total up to $300,000 towards the SRE project. So it actually worked out really well. We stayed under the total grant amount for the maintenance project, even fixing the sinkhole at an extra work. Although we did have some additional engineering fees, which I apologize for hitting you guys with, but we stayed under the grants by about $40,000 in total, which is excellent in my opinion.
Wes?
I'm just curious, going forward, does Nashua have a quid pro quo with Whitefield to give them some money in the future?
No, actually, Nashua purchased the entitlements from Whitefield for some of, I think, $6,500. So, yeah, there are a few ways to transfer entitlements. One would be the quid pro quo method, but in this case, we gave them their local share of the annex project, and they traded us $6,500.
We owe them nothing, other than their thanks. Anything else for the airport engineers? Thank you. Next is committee reports. Master Plan Committee.
Well, I think I think
you got to add.
Don't have anything to add at the moment.
Your next meeting is when?
We don't have our next meeting scheduled just yet.
No, so the big thing is, like I said, these integral portions throughout the planning process. So the forecast, so there's an actual forecast that projects number of projected operations throughout the planning period. That's something that we have built into our scope of work that needs approval from the authority. So after the September meeting, once we get that approval, we'll start looking at facility requirements and start getting into all the fun stuff and start developing alternatives for the ALP and other assortments.
So there won't be an MPC meeting, committee meeting before the board meeting in September?
We may want to consider getting together, at least having a telecon, Farrell, to talk about how we're going to present the information and things like that.
Okay.
Part of the scope of work, that responsibility is on the master planning committee. Gail's certainly here to help and supplement and answer questions. So that's something that we can talk about prior to September.
That's fine. And I think we were talking about maybe the next meeting would be combined with the strategic committee as well.
Right. And if we want to just segue over to that. Yeah. So as alluded to earlier by Matt, the group of us, myself, Mike, Chris, David, we were doing it wrong. We were very eager and very interested in the details, but we were probably at the 3,000-foot level instead of the 30,000-foot level. So We had that meeting with Gail, was that then July?
That was in July.
Right, so about a month ago. And I took a step back and did some thinking myself, and I've sent out a hopefully not lengthy, but it's a kind of thought out set of things that I've based what I think the strategic vision is based on our vision statement. I kind of went back to the beginning. I took our vision statement and I started asking myself questions about the bigger picture per each part of our vision statement. So I just sent that out recently, so I know the guys haven't had a chance probably to digest it just yet, but I suggested that we revisit that collectively and kind of build a separate action plan off of that, but get our general big picture ideas in place and then meld those high concepts into the MPC, but don't try to do any of the CIP allocation or nitty-gritty and the idea that next year is important for CIP, that's locked in, and every year we're going to look at it anyways. So instead of trying to figure out what we're going to do in 2022 and try to logically link all the chains from now till then, let's set the high-level vision and let's start marrying to that high-level vision. So that's what we'll bring to you guys at the MPC level here in September to just generally guide what we believe, and obviously we'll share with the other board members. But so little regrouping. I entitled my email everybody to reboot. So we were on competing paths. Hopefully now we're on parallel paths.
Okay, thank you. Next is old business. We have the Perimeter Place Investment Lease Extension. Senator Scheifel, do you want to comment on that?
Well, we've been looking at this for some time. They involve two leases that do not expire for many years, 7 or so years. And the owners of each of those pieces of property have come to us and asked us for extensions. In one case with Building 106, they've actually asked us to extend the leases out to beyond 2100. And the other one has asked for a 20 plus a 20. When I was sitting in Chris's seat, I spoke with the real estate bankers at our bank and asked them what do lenders look at when you're talking about lending money to a business property. And I was told that if the length of the lease goes beyond the length of the loan, there is absolutely no negative involvement at all for the sale of the property. Mr. Tamposi, you may recall when he presented his case to us, and also to me personally in writing, indicated that that's simply not the case, that anything less than 50 years is a negative towards the sale of the property. As an individual member, I would say extending at least 50 years is simply not something that I would really agree on. And we have been pushing this forward every month. And I have a recommendation that we make a proposal to each of the two land property owners that we will extend their leases in accordance with the current options that are in their existing leases. And what that would mean is, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, for Mr. Tamposi's property, which currently expires in 2027, he has a 20-year option, which would bring it to 2047. He's got 6 years to go right now. So we could negotiate a new lease with him, let him exercise that one option of 20 years, and actually round it up, build in the 6 or so years that still remain. That's 26, 27. So we could bring it out to probably 2047 by using the option that's in there, the 7 or so that he has already, and maybe adding a year or two. In my opinion, that would be more than adequate to make the property
attractive for sale. And again, I'm referring back to my conversation with the bankers. With respect to the other landlord, it would be the same process. Their lease expires in 2026. They have a 20-year option. Given the 20-year option, they'll have the six. That's 26 years. That should put it way out into the future. And it should not be a negative from their perspective on selling the property.
Was just discussion.
I have a question. Would you, speaking as someone who's involved in condo association, would you, given that 20-year option, at the current terms and rates?
They currently have that price, a 20-year extension.
With the
current rate.
Okay.
Right. That's what it says.
With the CPI.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to go beyond that, we could consider giving them another option at the conclusion of that to be negotiated. And there is language in some of them. At that time, if they wish to negotiate that option, it would be subject to renegotiation of the rates, etc. So there's no renegotiation during the execution of their current options. It would be the following option.
So what Bob's presented falls directly in line with the FAA's guidelines.
There you go.
Because we're what's called an obligated airport. And what happens is, if we go outside of that, and I had the discussion with the DOT, FAA, if we step outside of that box, what it opens us up to is jeopardizing future grants. And I don't think that we want to even entertain that idea, because we get a lot of grants from the federal government for all of our projects, and we have a lot more projects on the CIP that we want to continue with. So, and even Mr. Tamposi brought this up at the last meeting. I was going to start reading some verbiage from the FAA, and he read it out for me. So,
yeah, the FAA's position, if you will, is in direct contradiction to what Mr. Tamposi had wanted. I believe the language from the FAA says something like, if there is a mortgage, it should be long enough to cover the mortgage, but no longer than 25 years. All others, 20 years. Now, as it's been pointed out from folks in the audience, we're not, it's advisory, and we're not obligated to follow that. But as Chris points out, I think we should try to live within the spirit of it. And I think what I've just suggested is quite reasonable. Unless, of course, they wish to come back and make a counteroffer to renegotiate the entire cost structure with a totally new lease. I think that would be something that we would want to be willing to discuss with them. But to go out 40 some odd years, bring it up to 2100, and under current conditions, I don't see how we can possibly fund that. Because we would be spitting in the face of FAA.
And I think one of the things that you said was to offer them, or I'm sorry, maybe Michael did, offer them an additional 20-year extension. So I think that's more than fair, and that would fall within the guidelines of the FAA.
And I have a comment. So I think the FAA, you know, in terms of grant obligations and all of that, they're concerned about what happens on the air side of the fence. And no,
I had this discussion with the DOT. The entire airport is an obligated airport. It doesn't matter if it's on the air side or on the other side.
And the thing, in my conversation with New Hampshire DOT on that subject, the reason that what happens on the other side of the fence is of concern to them is because the income generated from that contributes to the airport's operation.
What?
Well, I'd like to point out a couple of things. First of all, I think what your banker said and what Mr. Tamposi said are not in conflict. If you give them a 100-year lease, that makes the property more attractive. Not necessarily from the banker's point of view. but for someone to find that. But my other point, and I think I've made before, is if you go over to Pete, they have a huge industrial park. It's part of the airport. And so they've dealt with this issue. You know, but I believe the brewery and several high-tech companies are on the airport. So I think that I don't know what kind of lease agreements they have, but I have spoken with the development folks on other issues there, and I'm sure if somebody asked how they had handled it, you might get some valuable information.
I had started poking at that, and my questions were left unanswered.
Okay.
I can try poking a little harder, or different people, see what I get.
Is there anyone who would like to make a motion at this time?
Well, I'm not sure it should be a motion. I'd say I'd like to work with Chris to come up with a proposal that we offer to the two property owners, invite them to come to the next board meeting and offer it to them individually, directly in person.
We wanted to kind of create some sort of uniformity, right, in our leases in general, in terms of the terms, so we didn't have all these various terms out there for various leases,
yeah,
right?
As far as the language is concerned, yes, but the expiration dates are going to be staggered.
Of course, the actual dates, but the idea that a lease is of a certain term, and that's consistent with all the other, whether it's a new lease, a lease in the middle of its life, or a lease at the end of its life, and that we don't create these spurious extensions and everything else. I think this is a good jumping off point if that's the goal, to start to bring some conformance to what we've got out there.
Well, I would agree some conformity is due.
Right.
But we should be able to negotiate. And if a tenant wishes to negotiate something to their advantage and are willing to discuss it with us and it's financially favorable to us, I don't know if that doesn't necessarily have to be standard verbiage in all of the contracts.
Right, the question would be, do we want to go outside the 25 with mortgage or 20 without mortgage framework in general? It's sort of a baseline for unless extraordinary.
I think it would be in our best interest to adhere to the FAA guidance as best as possible, and if we were to go beyond it, it would be justifiable reasons for doing so. That would be to our great advantage. Right now, I don't see it. Other than making the tenants happy, as you say, give them a 100-year lease, it makes it certainly much more marketable.
The FAA considers that, if I recall, I don't have the paper in front of me, disposing of property,
right.
I believe is their term.
Anything over 50, I believe.
Yeah.
You dispose of the property.
And because it's obligated property, they tell us that we cannot do that. We will jeopardize future grants.
So basically what I hear the board is saying to these two requests is that we will honor the requests, the requirements in the lease for a 20-year extension upon the term that expires within 7 or 9 years. And if they want to change the terms of the lease, we will be agreeable to discuss renegotiating the lease.
Right. And what about the point of the, if you renegotiate that, are those financial? Do we want to violate that 20-25 year thing, or do we want to start bringing in whatever negotiations we have to be within the 20? Whether.
I personally think we should stay within the FAA guidelines.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't see any advantage on our part to do otherwise.
If we offer an extension in the language of the lease that says you can extend it for another 20 years, does that violate the FAA requirement? Because the lease is for 20 years or 25 years. With an option to extend, does that make it a 50-year lease, or is it still a 20-year lease, 25-year lease with an option to extend?
that the option to extend is after the 7 or 9 years.
I mean, in general terms, the FAA doesn't want us to have at least more than 25 years on if there's a mortgage involved. If we issue a lease for 25 years with an option to extend, does that violate even though it's 25 right. year lease? So are we allowed an option to extend in our language or not, according to the FAA?
And is it because the technicality is the option on both parties' options, meaning you're obligated for 25, and at the end of 25, it's not an automatic because both parties have to agree to the option?
We'll double check on that. My sense is that you would not agree to that another 20-year option.
With in that arena, when I first started looking into this, I came home and sat down with Attorney Bolt, and I asked him a direct question, and I believe he answered it for you. Are we obligated with regard to new leases or extensions by what the FAA says, 20 or 25, or what's in the existing lease? And I believe he came back and said, we have a legal obligation to adhere to what's in the lease, even if it goes beyond what the FAA says.
I mean, for future,
no,
so we can't offer an extension as a future.
Yeah, there's a 20-20, a 20-year lease with a 20-year option to go beyond. Is that 40 years or is it 20?
That's my question.
I would say it's 20, because it's an option. You haven't done it.
All right, it's an option to extend. So then, if that's the case, then we can still issue a lease with an option to extend.
I would.
And then we also should maybe stipulate in that lease at what point, when it's going to expire, how far in advance of the expiration we renegotiate a new lease. You don't wait for the night before.
Yeah, well,
because the property is absolutely worthless.
In this case, it's coming in 8 years before.
Well, so that would seem to be a reasonable number,
yeah.
If not longer. So, because people, we do want people to invest in these properties. We don't want pole hangers,
right.
Like was suggested before. We want pole barns. We want actual, you know, solid facilities that, frankly, are going to, no matter what the mortgage says in terms of its value after a 25-year mortgage payout, these buildings still have that. They can be around for 100 years. And we don't want to consider that it's worthless after 25 years, which it would be if the land is, we're not going to extend it.
So,
with some certainty,
should Chris and I work on a new lease? Should we present it to the board next month and then to the tenants, or ask the tenants to come and present it to them here?
Well, it sounds like your conversation with Attorney Bolton means we're stuck with that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know what we need to do. My question is, how should we do it? Should we do this directly?
I'm going to suggest that perhaps you ought to make a motion that you authorize to come up with this plan and speak with the tenants, because they may not be comfortable speaking about their business as public.
Okay. All right. I make a motion that Chris and I be authorized to come up with the plan that I just mentioned, and we'll discuss it directly with the two other tenants.
I will second that.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I'm sorry for that. I'm not speaking to you here.
You know, okay. I just ask one more question to make sure I understand the current lease. The current lease on these two properties, and maybe many others, but the two we're talking about, obligates the airport to renew it, to extend it for 20 years at the existing terms.
Correct.
So it doesn't negotiate there. Correct. It's just we're going to extend it.
Correct.
Where possible negotiation could come into play is that they're saying, well, wait a minute, what will it take to get another 20 years? In other words, make it not 20, but 40 with an additional 20. That's
next is new business. There's TW Landings. Chris, you want to talk about that?
Sure. TW, they rent some space from Nashua Gym. They rent two hangars, one directly beside us, and the one what's the number by the airfield. They rent two hangars on either side of us, basically. They have contracts I believe they're government contracts where they fit up aircraft with surveillance equipment. And these aircraft range from 172s up to King Airs, and they do all this work at Nashua. And these planes subsequently get sent overseas to Jordan, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. And that's where these planes are going. Well, these people have some storage containers from their last deployment. There's three containers. They're 8 feet by 40 feet, 8 by 20, and 8 by 20. And they need to bring these storage containers to the airfield. They house lighting equipment, SUVs, all kinds of, utility vehicles, things that they use on their deployments. So they need a place to put them. And I told them that I would make room for them out in our lot, out back where we store our snowplow blades, fence parts, and miscellaneous things. And so Matt and I went out there and smoothed out a piece of land with the dozer, and there's plenty of room out there to put those three containers. And so I drew up a lease, which you have in front of you, and would like approval for the lease. And it's a basically a tenancy at will lease, where 30 days notice given by either party can terminate the lease. So that way it's a short term, and they don't plan on long term. They said it could be upwards of a year before these containers ship back to Jordan again. And they're in agreement with the terms already. So if it's approved by the board, I will forward it to PW, and then they will forward it to their legal department so they can go over the verbiage in the lease.
What was the
15 cents per square foot, and it comes up to $324 per month.
Okay, that's on the aviation side, though, right?
Yes.
And according to the lease, there's no termination date. It's just 30 days.
Correct.
Basically,
if I want them out of there 30 days and they're gone, if they want to leave, they tell me in 30 days and they're gone.
This is very similar to the parking lot.
I'm assuming they'll provide proof of insurance and all that other good stuff for
liability. It's all written in the lease that they have to, yes.
Yeah.
Motion
board to accept that lease, whatever other legal lease needs to be put into it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you, David Shumlin again. Do we have any obligation to remove snow from any of those containers? Do they have to get them out? Do we have to clear snow away? What's our obligation here? Anything?
We could do that. Do we have an obligation to? No, they have snow removal equipment. They have a tractor with a bucket, so if they need access, although we generally would clean up that area out back there if we need to access it, which we do because we store things out there. So it's no added burden, if that's what you're wondering.
Yep. I just don't want to get plowed in and they say, well, you know.
No. And their other thing, Dave, is that they're not working out of these containers. They said, yeah, we occasionally make one there, but not on a regular basis. It's simply to store the containers in a safe location because they have certain equipment in there that they don't want people breaking into.
The motion on the floor that's been seconded to approve the lease as presented for CW land lease. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Upcoming events, we have the rescheduled Wings and Wheels for September 16th. Any other events coming up that people should know about?
Somebody called us this morning and told us that there's 40 Cirrus aircraft coming in on the 29th, was it?
25th.
Ed Marks called and left this message, and I have not been able to get back in contact with them today. But I'll find out what's going on with that. I think it's just a fly-in, so it's nothing that requires approval, just a fly-in similar aircraft.
Any other public input? Wes?
Actually, a public question. You mentioned an extension
for the lease for the bankruptcy. And my question is, any other news on the bankruptcy? They see big signs, you know, out there, looks like they're trying to have an auction. Perhaps you have more information.
The only information I have, Wes, is yes, they're trying to liquidate the properties. I've spoken to two different people. I'm sorry, one person that has actually contacted the brokers and inquired about a property, and they're trying to sell more fence properties. All he's interested in is the DW College Hangar, and that is the Collings Foundation. So they're working on that. Interestingly enough, we've already met with Ken from the Collings Foundation. We explained to him what we knew about the properties, in particular the aviation center that only has approximately 2.5 years remaining on its lease, so they really don't have anything to sell there. Yet he told me, I thought it was funny, Chris, that the guy was trying to sell me that property. So we need to keep a close eye on them. Of course, we have to approve anything that goes on your side anyway. But that's all we know about that.
Thank you. I'm not even at the very first part of that. My question was, have we gotten any further with our negotiations with the Collings Foundation to bring them down here and put them into the grass tie-down area? And also, do they have plans of building a building right there to house the residents?
Well, in our meeting with Ken, we talked about things like that, building in the grass tie-down area. We showed him that would be a suitable location for them. What they have going on is they have another project going on right now. I don't know if it's complete or not, but he said basically we don't want two projects at one time. So it's not out of the question we come here and build. They would like to come to Nashua. They're looking, and then when he was driving, he lives in Nashua, Ken does, and he was driving on the road, he saw the sign at St. Joseph's College, so he called the guy, because we had talked about that hangar before as well. So I don't know where he's getting with negotiating with it. It's not out of the question that they come and build the facility. That's what we would like to see. I'd like to see him at the field no matter where he is. So that's what I can tell you about that.
I mean, he's still making any contact.
Oh, yeah. I stay in touch. Joe stays in touch with us. He was supposed to come down for Wheels and Wings, but I hope he wasn't down there waiting for me because it was washed out.
I agree with you.
Over the road.
Thank you, Mr. President. SB 124, the very first meeting of the study committee will be September 19th at 10 a.m. in room 202 of the LMP. Now, that's the first meeting of the morning, so it will be on time. The committee is made up of 7 individuals, and some of them were on the original committee. Others are new to it. So they've had the last month or so to negotiate or to get research information from their local airports and whatnot as to whether they're pro or con to this bill. So it's important that whoever we have that can be at those meeting to testify and answer those questions is imperative. So, like I said, many of the questions will be the same, but there are some that will probably be different because they've been researching information from their local airports, wherever they happen to be from. So, you know the process. The process hasn't changed. I will present the bill, and then we'll go from there with questions and whatnot.
I will check my calendar and try to make it.
The list of the new committee members, is that
published somewhere? It is, but I can get it to you.
Okay.
Because
I've exchanged email with the original committee.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to send information.
Yeah, I've got a list. Okay. Really, the chairman is very much in favor of this bill, and he's going to do everything he can to see that we get something out of it.
But the chairman is in favor if it was revenue neutral.
Yes.
Correct. The bill as it stands now is not revenue neutral, it's just eliminating the fees.
That's correct.
Alderman Shoneman, did you have?
I was just going to mention, as I told you in email today, that Carol, the mayor, has agreed to renew you for 5 years from that, and Sandy for 1 year. So that'll get the five of you onto a 1 year rotation. And
can I speak to that as well? I know we discussed earlier. We got a phone call from the city clerk's office today stating that our board has two members that have undeclared parties, and that would be Farrell and Sandy. And the city clerk's office said that we can't have that. You have to declare a party affiliation. Right now, we have one Republican and two Democrats on the board, and it can't be lopsided, can't be more than three against two. So this needs to be rectified by September 12th, I was told.
Okay.
Were there party affiliation designations when they joined the board?
Well, that is part of the initial process. And doing this in retrospect create a lopsided situation here, which is what they either and shouldn't happen. I've been pointing out for 3 years for the park downtown. That's what it says. There's also a new app for the city, and we're not in it at all. You have to search for it. It's not listed. So that's something I'm going to listen to as well.
Alderman Shoneman.
On the party thing, we kind of let it go, treating undeclared as another party. And what the city clerk is saying is you can't do that anymore.
Right.
I hadn't heard that until Chris mentioned that.
So I see.
If you run for state office, for instance, you run for state rep, you cannot run as undeclared. You got to choose. You're one or the other.
Correct.
And in real life, most times are one or the other. And I think that if you... This ties in with how you're registered to vote down at City Hall. It's not just you raise your hand and you say it. You go down and you change your card from you to R or he. And that's making a declaration beyond just here, and it's an important thing. But if that's an issue, then either do what we got to do to stay here, or then we have to deal with it and find.
The deadline you said was
September 12th.
That's coming up.
Yes, it is.
That means Andy has to go and call him a sword to vote for Trump.
Oh, which ballot at primary. That's really all.
You can still cast your vote either way.
And which mailers.
And you have the opportunity to change it multiple times before the coming.
If it makes anybody feel better, I'm the one. So I can fight really hard. So if it's 4-1, I'm okay. There, I said it. They're going to run me out on the rails.
moving along, let's do some director's comments.
Just another continued thumbs up to our team here at the airport. Things are going good. It's nice to see getting the city involved. We're doing all these great things and starting to chug along again. So, and judging by our meeting size continuing to dwindle, I guess things are going in the right direction. So,
I'd like to thank Chris and Susan for the work that they've been doing in the front office for the airport. It's been going very well, near as I can tell. So, really appreciate it.
The silence is telling. I do have a question. Nick, best guesses for the Ruby project, phase one? When do we start talking about that?
Once the grant offer is received, you'll sign it, send it back. I will prepare contracts, reach out to the contractor, we'll hold a pre-construction meeting where they will present their schedule, and we'll go from there. But you can dictate when you start work via the notice to proceed.
Well, we always said fall. Fall is September, so it's not going to be September.
It could be a little bit later in September, depending on when the grant comes in.
Any idea when the grant is? That just who knows?
The state is waiting for the discretionary portion of that funding. The FAA released discretionary funding to Massachusetts. Those airports have received their grants. So being that it's a block grant, you've got an extra step in the process to distribute the funds at the state level rather than federal. So you can probably add a week or two to that. You should be seeing a grant.
Is there a process in place to notify the community and when the runways will be closed?
The grooving will be nighttime, right?
The grooving would be nighttime only closures. The sealing would be full-time closures because we'd be covering markings
for a week.
For 5 days.
But that's next spring.
Next spring.
Yes.
So, but we do have, we have notifications we've got to get out.
I guess the question is, when do you think you guys will have a good preliminary schedule that people can start dialing dates in? Once that grant money...
When I call the low bidder to notify them of
right.
the award, I would say get a schedule to me, ASAP. I'll forward it to you guys when I receive it and decide how and when to notify the employees.
Oh, I just want to echo what the board has been saying, that the staff will see the Chris and Matt and Joe. They're doing an excellent job handling all matters, adding equipment, dealing with sinkholes and potholes and necessary clean out.
Other holes?
Sort of
potholes, we'll leave that one.
keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I also am pleased to see the cooperation with the city. That's very important, and that will continue. I did mention in the treasurer's report that the audit work is scheduled, so Andy will be happy to know that that's in place, and we expect to have a draft to the board for our October board meeting. And other than that,
motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. For a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.